Kitty Cordova here live at Greenfest, and I am now with Margot Zusterhoff, and it's a beautiful day, Margot.
Yes, it's gorgeous.
Thank you for coming in. I was just telling you before we went on air that one thing I like about Greenfest this year, about the location of Greenfest this year, we are at the FEP building, and I can see the outside, you know? I can see the sun. I can see that it's usually we're in the gallery, yeah? And we cannot see what's going on outside,
right.
But today we can. Today we're connected with the whole event, and I like that. And Marco is here from Transition Power County. And she is going to talk to us about everything that Transition Howard County does. You guys have here on your website that you're live, local, and prosper. Tell us a little bit about that. What does that mean?
So it's a little play off of Star Trek, but so as opposed to, you know, live long and prosper, it's live local and prosper, because the transition movement is all about being more locally focused and being sustainable as a community.
That's fantastic. So what are some of the things that you guys are doing to accomplish that?
So there's a number of things we're doing. One is the Repair Cafe. We're actually doing one here at Greenfest with the HCC staff and students. And at the Repair Cafe, people bring broken items, and we try to fix as many of them as we can for free.
So Repair Cafe. Last year is the first year that I heard about it. Last year is the first year that I found out what it was. And I found out that you guys take this cafe with you, different places. It's not just here at Greenfest. So tell us a little more about that initiative in general.
Sure. So we move it to different parts of the county to be able to reach more people. So we will have one at Elkridge Library. We'll have one at the Arts Center. We'll do one with the Conservancy. And, you know, in addition to fixing things so people then don't have to throw them out and buy new, that saves money, but it also keeps those things from going into the landfill.
Right, right, absolutely. And there's also that attachment that we get, you know?
Yes. Oh, I know. People bring in lamps and they say, this lamp has been sitting in my living room for 20 years and it hasn't worked and I don't want to throw it away. And they are so thrilled when we can fix it for them.
Right, absolutely. Because we, you know, some of the things are passed on from generation to generation.
Yes.
And then if it breaks, you don't want to throw it away.
Right.
It's nice to have.
Right.
And did you say that it is free?
Yes, we fix it for free, so there's no, you know, we can't fix everything, but we do actually are able to fix a large number of items that come in.
Now, Margo, how did you get involved? what drove you to, you know, being part of the Transition Power County organization?
So the transition movement has been around since about 2006. It started in England. I got interested in it because I'm very interested in sustainability, and I like the fact that it's focused at the community level.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is, and it's also all about solutions. That was very appealing to me because there's a lot of problems, and we know that, but there's also a lot of solutions, and it just takes the will to put them in place.
So let's talk about a little more about that. What are some of the problems that you guys are focused on? What are some of the problems that you guys are looking at that you're trying to find the solutions for?
Right. So some of the global problems are things like climate change, peak oil, financial instability. And then, you know, at a local level, just also looking at things like pollution, keeping things out of the landfill, being more resilient. So one of the things we're doing is what we call Transition Incredible Edibles, where we're trying to get more food grown locally.
Hmm.
And the Incredible Edible Gardens are public gardens, which is different than a community garden. A community garden is where you get the plot and you grow the food and you harvest it and you, you know, benefit from it. A public garden is anyone who wants to participate can, and we grow food, and then anyone who wants to can harvest from it. So you can just walk by and, you know, grab an apple, pick some raspberries. So we're going to be growing, doing an incredible edible garden here at HCC, and we'll also be doing one at the East Columbia 50 Plus.
Yeah, the fruits and veggies that you guys grow as this incredible edible are the, you know, those who grow get the benefit of taking them home. Are you guys selling them? What's happening with that? So
yeah, so it's freely available, so we won't be selling them. So anyone can come and harvest when the things are ready to be harvested. And it's, again, just a way of utilizing a lot of the areas that are just grass. And, you know, some grassy space is nice, but we have a lot more grass than we probably really need. And you can't eat grass.
I was going to say, a salad, a grass salad I haven't tried yet. Yeah. And it's not very appealing to me.
Yeah. So we want to start using some of these spaces to grow food, and then anybody can take advantage of the food.
So do you guys have to, I guess, get permission or, you know, things like that? I'm sure that you can't just show up and be like, oh, this looks very nice, and just start, you know, harvesting things there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we try not to go that path. We've actually been reaching out to a number of different groups, and we've gotten a very positive response. So a lot of organizations are very interested in this, so the library, Reckon Park, HTC, and so we're very excited. We just, right now, we're just looking for more people to help us get it in place.
Right, absolutely. It sounds like a fantastic idea, and it's like almost like, why didn't we think of this sooner, you know?
Right, right. It is. It just makes total sense to use the land we have in a more productive way.
So what's the vision with this program? I mean, obviously, it sounds like it's starting, and it's just maybe at its infancy stages. So where do you guys see this going?
So for the Incredible Edible, I mean, what we would like to see is have public gardens all over the county. So anybody, wherever they live, if they're, you know, walking by, they can just grab some food and have some things for dinner without going to the grocery store. And if that's just part of our overall just more local resilience and sustainability. So food is a big part of that. Another big part of it is clothing. So another thing we're doing is fiber shed, so Maryland Fiber Shed, trying to have more local fibers available so people don't have to buy all of their clothing from China and India, which is where most of our clothing
right.
comes from. And the international clothing production is very polluting. It's the number one polluter of water in of all the...
How does that happen?
So it happens mostly through dyeing. So all of our beautiful colored clothes, in a lot of countries where clothing is made, the dyes, after the clothing is dyed, they just dump the dye in the local waterways.
Wow.
So it's horrible for the environment. 98% of the people who work in the clothing industry are not paid a living wage. So it's not sustainable the way we do it currently. So
mm-hmm.
we're trying to have more local sustainable clothing available and just create awareness so there's more demand for it, just like there's more demand now for local food.
Absolutely. Now, on your website, I see, you know, water faucet, like I see the plants, which obviously we talked about, Incredible Edible, but I also see bikes.
Yes.
What are the bikes all about?
More local transportation. We are one of many organizations that are advocating for the bikeway because obviously traveling everywhere in cars, it uses fossil fuels, so it's polluting, it's, you know, using oil. And so if people use their bikes, and now one reason people don't like to bike is because it's kind of dangerous biking on the roads around
right.
here. So the bikeway is to create some dedicated paths. There are some in Columbia, but, you know, trying to expand that throughout
right.
Howard County so people can actually get places like school and work on their bike as opposed to having to get in the car.
Right. And I know the Horizon Foundation is
yes.
actively looking at
yes.
Expanding that, and I know that the Howard County government is usually very open, and I know that the new government, because we are under
yes.
a new government
yes.
right now, that they are big supporters
yes.
of
and we're very excited
this.
About that.
So we are looking forward to seeing that, because I know that we've talked before with the Horizon Foundation, and they've done a couple of, you know, previews of what it's going to look like,
yes.
and it's very exciting.
Yeah,
it's very exciting.
We've been to those events, too, and they show the examples of how they can, you know, cars and bikes can share the road in a
right.
more effective and safe way. And then, you know, I think if there were safer venues for people to bike, they would do it more often.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So the Maryland Fiber Shed, can you tell me a little bit more about what that is all about?
Right. So the main thing we're focused on right now is creating a directory.
Mm-hmm.
So we are trying to find any and all organizations in Maryland that are involved in any aspect of creating local fibers. So it could be people who raise sheep or people who grow flax. It could be, you know, it's the mills, it's the weavers, it's the spinners, it's the clothing designers. So we're trying to create a directory so organizations that are already doing some aspect of creating local fibers can find sources. You know,
mm-hmm.
so if you're a weaver and you want to be able to find local sources of fibers to weave, you could go to the directory to find them, and then also to find local customers of, you know, once you weave something, who
right.
will want that product.
So we talked about, you know, how right now we get more silver clothes imported and how that's affecting water. But why is another reason why we want to buy also local clothes? I mean, what other good comes from it?
There's lots of good. It supports the local economy. It creates local jobs because then the clothing is created here. Only 5% of the clothing in the United States is actually created in the United States.
Wow.
So we could have so many more local jobs if more of it was created here.
You know, I was having a conversation with my kids the other day. I'm originally from Ecuador, and what I was telling them is, like, Ecuador is known for plantain, for shrimp. You know, those are the products that they export, and the world knows about it, right? Roses. We were talking about Colombian coffee and Mexican tequila, right? I was like, but I don't think that the U.S. is known for one product that they export. So maybe this is, you know, we're big importers, and I understand we're a big country, right? But maybe this is a way that we can, you know, start producing. Because I do remember growing up that if anything said made in the U.S., my family wanted it because it was well done. It was well made. It was a good product. It was good quality. And maybe we need to go back to that. And this is a good way of doing that, not only for the business side of things, but also for the sustainable side of things.
Absolutely.
Right?
It's better for the environment. It's better for people in general, just because, you know, here people will be paid a living wage.
Right. Now, I also see that you guys support and native plant nurseries.
Yes.
So do you guys run your own, or are you guys just trying to connect also the ones around the area?
Yeah, we're just trying to point people to where they can get native plants, because so much of our environment, like if you've heard about the insects and the pollinators, they're dying off.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is because they don't have the native plants that they need to sustain them. And so
I'm going to stop you right there, because native plants is not something that many people are aware of. I've actually learned it through GreenFest.
yes.
So this event in previous years. So what are native plants?
So, yes, different people can define native different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But basically it means as a plant that has evolved in this area. And so the local insects recognize it because they've evolved together with this plant, or plants. We have lots of native plants. So how you define native depends. Some people consider it more like, you know, the Mid-Atlantic area. Some people would consider anything in the United States would be native.
Mm.
But, you know, so different people can kind of define native different ways. But most people would define it more as the Mid-Atlantic area. And plants will grow better in their native places. So if you try to take a plant that is, you know, native to the mountains, and you try to grow it, you know, around here, it may not survive because it's used to a different environment. And
right.
So growing native plants helps support native insects, native animals, and generally they're easier to grow because they evolved in this area, so
right.
they tend to be more drought resistant, and they can handle the weather, so
right.
they're generally easier to grow.
Now, I've also heard if you grow locally, you eat locally, I guess we can add now, if you dress locally, that also helps keep your allergies a little more on check. Is that correct? Because you are, you know, everything that you're consuming is already kind of like bringing what. Can you explain that a little bit? I just know that if you are eating local, right,
mm-hmm.
if you're eating produce that's locally grown,
yep.
then your allergies can lower after a little while because you are basically putting in your system, you know, what in the spring is just blooming around you, right? So you're kind of like vaccinating yourself in a way, right?
Right.
By just consuming local products.
Yeah, I mean, definitely consuming local food is generally better for you from a health perspective because it hasn't had to travel long distance. So certainly from a climate perspective, you haven't spent all that fossil fuel
right.
to transport it from wherever. And then, you know, it's also, human beings evolved to eat kind of locally. And so when we eat things that are, you know, like if you eat strawberries all year round or you eat anything, you know, like kiwis all year round or something like that, not that those are bad foods, but our bodies didn't evolve to eat the same thing all year round because, you know, local food is only, you know, strawberries and berries are only available during a certain time of year. So if you eat a local diet, it varies with the seasons, and that's actually healthier for you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So that's, you know, and those are some of the benefits of consuming local that we don't know about and we don't think about because we just don't know, right?
Right.
I think that the common theme, speaking with everybody here today, is being like, you don't know what you don't know, and it's important to get educated on all of this. I mean, all of this themes and all of these things that we're talking about. It's not a trend,
right?
Right. It's not something that's just going to come and then it's going to die out in a couple months.
Right.
And this event has been going on for years, and we're hoping our Earth continues to go on for many years, right?
Yeah.
And that's why we're doing all of the things that we're doing, and that's what you guys are doing, all of the things that you're doing to hopefully make a sustainable planet Earth for the generations to come.
Yeah, definitely. We want to pass on to our children and grandchildren, you know, all the things that we've been able to benefit from as well. And, you know, if we don't do things sustainably, we won't be able to do that.
Absolutely. Ferguson, anything else that you would like to talk about, any upcoming events or any programs, anything that we've kind of missed on our conversation before we wrap it up?
No, I think we talked about most things. Our website has all of our local events. People can sign up for our newsletter, you know, so if you want to know when the next repair cafe is or, you know, what we're doing with the fiber shed, all of that is in our newsletter, so I encourage people to check it out.
Absolutely. And then let's remind everybody where they can get more information, your website.
Yes. So it's www.transitionhoco.org is our website.
And that's how you can connect. And if you are here on Greenfest and you want to check out the Repair Cafe, where are you guys located at today?
So the Repair Cafe, I'm not sure, we're in the lab.
Okay.
Yeah.
In the lab right here in the first floor in the SET building at Howard Community College.
Yep. Yep.
By the bee.
Yes. And our table is just down the hall from where the Repair Cafe is being held.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And if you have any questions, Margo is a wonderful person to talk to. She's very friendly. So come on by, say hello. We are also Dragon Digital Radio at the second floor here in the SET building. The event goes on until 4. The Repair Cafe closes at what time?
3 o'clock.
At 3 o'clock. So you still have some time. You still have just hold over 2 hours to make it and come over here. Thanks so much, Margo, for coming and speaking to us this morning. Really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
And we're going to go and throw it back to some music now.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.